I am always intrigued with how our thoughts connect to one another and how those thoughts oftentimes lead us to additional thoughts that when we come together and assemble as we have this evening, that our thoughts seem to be in line with one another. The hymns that Lynn has led us in have so adequately explained and also been supplemental to what we will be discussing and looking at tonight. But it was just a few weeks ago that I began to pen this study as I was planning for Kayla to be away today. She was gone with Becky to a preacher's wives retreat over the weekend. And it was that thought that led me to think about trips, and trips that led me to think about the trip or the journey that we will look at this evening. A journey, or I should say the journey of a lifetime. A journey of which we will spend our entire lives to prepare for, yet when we get to experience it, it will indeed be the greatest and grandest journey we have ever taken. You know, some people like to travel. I'm not one of them. I like to go and I like to visit historical places. I like to go and see new or interesting things. I'm just not too fond of the traveling that's involved with it. I want to go straight there, do all of the things that I can do while I'm there, and then come straight home. As I think about that, I think about what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning there in verse 1, Paul wrote about a trip, a journey that we all will make. And we somewhat get to choose our destiny. Not that we get to choose it in and of ourselves, but we get to choose it by the life which we choose to live. He wrote, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as his pledge." We all recognize that earthly life, or the life on this earth, is not permanent. When our lives come to an end, we will be given new bodies. And because of the ailments and the difficulties that our physical bodies now experience, we long for that new body, the spiritual body, that will be spiritual in nature and that will last forever. Paul was so confident of obtaining that new body that he spoke of it in 2 Corinthians 5 as being a present reality. That while on this earth we earnestly desire and hope to put on or to be clothed in that new body. And so Paul repeated himself there in verse 4 with a little expansion from what he said in verse 2. He explained that he did not want to die, but he wanted to be further clothed. In other words, he wanted Christ to return and to give him that new body before it was his time to die. Our mortal bodies will be totally consumed or transformed into bodies that will never die. And Paul wanted to expedite that, if you will. He wanted to have that new body, and he wanted to experience the things in that new body. God prepared us for this change, and he gave us the Spirit as a guarantee or as a down payment of this coming change. And so Christians look forward to this journey of a lifetime with excitement, with interest, because we're intrigued by the thoughts of it. We're intrigued by the promises that God has made to the faithful. all who will listen are to be instructed of the certainty of this trip, of the preparations that are to be made, the guide who will point the way, the map that is to be followed, and the road to be chosen in this life if we plan to be where we want to be at the end of this journey, the journey of a lifetime. It is certain that we will all take this trip. Many trips for us are optional. Some are mandatory. But this particular trip is necessary. It's been appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And people that live a full span of life, some 70 to 80 years, their lives are summed up as being labor and sorrow, Psalm 90, verse 10. Labor being hard, difficult, and painful work. Sorrow being suffering and distress. We experience these things in this life because it is not our permanent dwelling. We speak of how quickly children grow up or how time seems to be moving more rapidly, though we know at the same time that it's moving at the same rate it always has. We conclude then that life is quickly over. And indeed, life is. Life is quickly over, and then we fly away. Psalm 90, verse 10 again. Every person, therefore, is moving toward death. They're moving toward this journey of a lifetime. And we do not know what our life will be like tomorrow. It is uncertain as yet. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Many things about this life are uncertain. Our existence here upon the earth tomorrow is uncertain. Because life is a mist. It is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. It's like the smoke that is blown away by the wind. There's an interesting play on words in the Greek. If you read James 4, verse 14, it stands to show life as appearing and then disappearing as if without notice. That's how quickly our lives pass from us. Thus, no one can be certain when death will come to any one of us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25 is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. The point of the quotation by Peter is to show that everything in the human existence is transitory in contrast to the permanent Word of God. So it is necessary for our lives to come to an end and for us to take this journey so that we may live with God in what is going to be permanent. We look forward then to that return home from most trips with thoughts of home sweet home, or home is where the heart is, or there's no place like home. The journey of which we are considering this evening does not allow for a return. Job said, "For when a few years are past, I shall go the way of no return." Job 16, verse 22. You remember that when the child that was born to David by Uriah's wife died, David made this comment, "But now he has died, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go with him," or go to him, rather, "but he will not return to me." There is no return from this journey of a lifetime. It will be so blessed in that land far beyond that we will not want to return. But even if we were to want to, there's no means to return. We usually take trips with others, and we get excited about the camaraderie that will take place on those journeys, and it brings a joyful mood. But on this journey of a lifetime, we more often take it alone. We take this journey alone, and for the Christian, it may well be taken in a joyful mood. But to the unbeliever, there will probably be the experience of a sorrowful mood. The difference in the mood for this journey is based on preparations that have been made. We generally make preparations before taking a trip, and we need to make preparations before taking this journey, the journey of a lifetime. One such preparation would be that we need to evaluate our present condition. Those who are not Christians are lost. They are totally unprepared. They have sinned like all others, but they may deny their sins. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 10. Or they may deny the need for forgiveness. They may deny the need or deny the one who can take care of their sin problem. They need to evaluate their present condition and make changes. To those who are Christians, those who have given their lives in service to Christ and to the church, though they have been saved, must continue to be faithful. Faithful to the Lord's commands. Faithful in the Lord's teachings. Faithful in service. Thus the Bible urges hearers to continue to prepare. The wisest man to ever live, Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, declared that the conclusion, when all has been heard, Ecclesiastes 12:13, is to fear God and to keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Jesus teaches believers to be dressed in readiness, ready for His return, ready for that great day, Luke 12, verse 35. It's imperative that we prepare and make these preparations, because only those who are prepared will enter the right place when the time comes. In Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, Jesus told about five wise and five foolish virgins. The five wise were prepared and they entered in. The five foolish were unprepared and they were not allowed to enter in. Those who are prepared to take this journey will find the journey to lead them to the place they most want to be. On this journey, we need a guide. If we travel to an unfamiliar place, we might team up with a traveler's guide to make plans for our trip. Or we might enjoy the services of a tour guide to help us find our way through. On the journey of a lifetime, we cannot find our way alone. Humans do not have absolute control over their own destiny. By that I mean that we cannot go to heaven simply by our own merits. We cannot go to heaven simply because we have a desire to go there. We do not get to enter heaven just because we do things the way we want them to be done. Jeremiah the prophet wrote in Jeremiah chapter 10 in verse 23, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Try as we may, do as best we can in directing our lives, we'll still make mistakes. We'll still not lead lives that are pleasing to God all the time. One way of doing things often leads us to death. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 28 verse 26 therefore gives this warning, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. The verse continues, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Jesus has made this journey. He's made the journey ahead of us, and He's invited us to come and be where He is. He can be our guide. He can be our guide because He has gone ahead of us. The truth ought to give us confidence, as the Hebrew writer penned in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A guide that has been where we are going or where we want to go is going to be of more value to us. We need a guide for our journey of a lifetime. In this journey, there is a road map. The Bible has been described as basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible is indeed the road map to heaven. The writer of Psalm 73 penned these words, "With your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory," or receive me with honor. When we are guided by God's Word, by the counsel of His Word, we will be received into glory. We will be received with great honor. The Word which Jesus spoke will judge all people. Paul wrote in Romans 2 and verse 16 that God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. So we are to study this map and to follow this roadmap, because studying it leads us to fulfill the things instructed in it. Paul instructed one named Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, in three things in this regard. He instructed Timothy to make every effort to be pleasing to God. He also instructed Timothy to work so that God would approve of his own work and not be ashamed of his own work. So Timothy was to do work, and in his service to the Lord, he was to perform service that would meet the approval of God and would also render Timothy not being ashamed of his efforts. Timothy was also instructed, finally, to be accurate in delivering the message of truth. The same is true for all who take up this journey. We are to do those things that are pleasing to God. We are to work so diligently that the efforts we put forth will meet the approval of God, and that we would not be ashamed of our work, but be proud of it. But not arrogant and proud and rude, but proud of the fact that we have committed our lives to Christ and done His will as best we could, so that we have confidence to stand before Him in judgment. And we are also to be accurate. Accurate in delivering the message of truth to others, so that they may join us on this journey of a lifetime. As we study and we read this map, we also must understand that this roadmap is sufficient. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, making wise the simple." We understand from the New Testament that the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. All Scripture, then, is adequate to equip believers for every good work. As we read and study this roadmap, it directs us to choose the right road and travel down the right path. It does make a difference which road we travel when we take a trip, and the same is true of this journey. There are multiple ways of living, and there are multiple destinations in life. Jesus made it known that of all the ways of living, each and every one, resemble one of two paths, one of two ways. And those two ways lead to one of two destinations. He said that the broad way, which gives the most options for choosing how to live, is the path that most will choose to travel because it's easy. They can choose how they want to live. They can choose what they want to live by. They can disregard what they want to disregard when they want to disregard it. They can choose to go against what they know to be right and accurate if they choose this path. But do not be misled. It is still a path that is difficult. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15 reads, "Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard." One wants to choose this easy way, this broad way. It leads to destruction, which is one of the two destinations Jesus said we will reach. Jesus also spoke of a second way, a straight way, a narrow way. It too at times is very hard. The access to this way is restricted. It's reserved only for those who are obedient. Few will choose to travel this way, though it leads to life. It is the other possible destination. So there are many ways of living life, but most of those ways will lead us to a path of destruction. There's one way and only one way that will lead us to the other destination, that of which most people, if not all, in their minds and in their hearts and honestly in their speech would say they want to go. They want to find. They want to be in heaven. Jesus declared Himself to be the way to the Father. John 14, verse 6, Jesus also taught that He was the door, or that He is the door, by which all who desire to go to the Father must enter. We must, therefore, hear the voice of Jesus and be joined to the one flock of which Jesus is the only shepherd. John 10 and verse 16. But to travel by this way, to travel by the right way, to travel the right road, we must be in Christ. That means that we are baptized into Christ, that we are clothed in Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Furthermore, that we are baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. But as we move through life, we often find that we have taken a wrong turn, that we've gone the wrong direction, or maybe even in setting out to go on a trip, the directions which we had were wrong. And in those cases, we must make correction. The same is true of this journey. We may find ourselves to be pursuing a path that leads to what we want to obtain, to where we want to be, only to find that that path is not the path we're on. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, there were some who were baptized under the baptism of John. And when Paul spoke with them and talked to them about that baptism, they then followed in response by being baptized into Christ. You see, once we are on the right way, we may find that there are also the need for correction. We must continue to travel down the right path, growing all the more in respect to salvation, growing in grace and growing in knowledge of Jesus Christ, and adding to our faith other aspects of the Christian virtues. Sometimes we will find that we are not only severely lacking in these things, but we may find that they are not even present in our lives. And so there is the need for correction. We will all spend our entire lives preparing for the journey of a lifetime. It is for certain that we will take this trip. Therefore, we should make preparations for the trip. Jesus has willingly gone before us, made preparations for us, and He's invited us to come and travel with Him, to go to His Father. The Bible shows us the way, including the map, the right road, and the right way to travel it. The good news for us is that we can so prepare ourselves that when Jesus returns to take the faithful home with Him, to be where He is, we will not be in fear, but we will be in joy. We will be in joy because of the joyful salvation that will be ours. For Jesus will bring salvation to those who believe in Him, those who have turned from sin in repentance and confessed Him before men, those who have submitted to His will and have been baptized in His name for the forgiveness of sins, and those who have continually waited faithfully for His return. Paul spoke towards the end of his life of a crown of righteousness that awaited him, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And he noted that that crown of righteousness is not only for him, but for all who were ready, all who were watching, all who are waiting for the appearing of Christ. Christians are preparing themselves, making themselves ready for that crown of righteousness. They are watching for the Lord's return. They're waiting in eager anticipation of receiving that spiritual body that will last forever, that will be permanently ours, so that we can be in the permanent dwelling place with our Father and our Savior. So tonight we invite you. We invite you to come and join this journey of a lifetime. Come and make the preparations needed for eternal life. Come and make adjustments in your earthly life so that you can reach the destination on this journey that you so desire to receive, that of heaven. As we sing and encourage any who need to make a response, we invite you to consider this journey of a lifetime and what it will mean to all who are faithful. But you may need to also consider the dreary nature of the same journey for those who are unprepared. Make your preparations, make your adjustments as we stand and sing to encourage you.